Ramadan Reflections, Day 10. Women, right to choose when it comes to marriage.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Ramadan Reflections. Today being the 10th day of the blessed month of Ramadan in the year 2023, 1444 of the migration. 10th day means we're really at the 1/3 point of this blessed month. There's only a maximum of 30 days in the month of Ramadan. 10 days is the 1/3 point. And I hope and pray that we're all making the most of these days and nights of the month of Ramadan, engaging with the Quran at a deeper level, ensuring that our fasting is done according to code, ensuring that our prayers are done on time, ensuring that our supplications are coming from the bottom of our heart. And today in this blessed month of Ramadan and Ramadan Reflections, we want to look at the topic of women, right to choose when it comes to marriage. How does Allah address the very important topic of marriage in Islam? Was there some cultural practices done before the coming of the Quran that had to be rejigged, that had to be reformed? You know, when we look at the lives, at the private personal lives of Muslims, we see that there are many issues which come into play. As much as we are individuals, we also seek to lead communal lives. We live in community settings. And I would say one of the most interesting relationships which Allah has given us is that of marriage. All other relationships are basically, you know, we're born into them. We don't choose our parents. We don't choose our siblings. Marriage is really the only time we can actually choose a relationship and a partner. And as we know, marriage is really a bond which two people of perhaps completely opposite backgrounds from two different countries, two different parts of the world, two complete strangers for the most part, they meet, something clicks, and they end up getting married and living together under the sight of Allah for the rest of their lives. Marriage between a man and a woman, and the creation of a family, if Allah wills, that is to have children. It's so important that Allah considers marriage as one of His signs, one of His ayat. And this is mentioned in chapter number 30, Surah Ar-Rum. Now, when we talk about marriage, we recognize that by looking at history, it shows us that in the pre-Islamic Arabia, to an extent, women did not have the choice, the freedom of choice to marry whom they wanted. It just wasn't there. So this is also perhaps why Allah brought it in the Quran, with the recognition that in the future, communities, societies, cultures would exist that have the same background and the same backwards practices. In fact, in some of the Arab tribal groups, women were inherited from the time of the death of their husband. They then became the property or the wife of another person against her own will. Strange, but it's true. So this is where we see the Quran brings forth the revolutionary teachings and ingrains in the verses of the Quran. And the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, shows us through practical example of his own life and that of his daughter Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, that women are very much free to choose their husband within the confines of religion, within the Sharia limits, which we may touch upon. Now, today we're going to go back to the Quran, obviously, because that is what Ramadan Reflections is all about. And look at verse 232 of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. Although there are many ayat in the Quran about marriage, we're going to look at this one for today. And in this somewhat lengthy verse, Allah says, "When you divorce women and they have reached the end of their waiting term, then you judges and you who are guardians of either party, do not debar them from marrying their former husbands, and O former husbands of them, from marrying other men, if they have come to an agreement between them on equitable terms. This is an admonition to whomever among you truly believes in Allah and the last day. That is a cleaner and purer way for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know." Now, before we can really appreciate what Allah is mentioning in this verse, for me to unpack it, we need to understand the history of revelation. So we're told in the books of commentary that one of the companions of the Prophet named Ma'akil ibn Yasir had a sister named Jamal or Jamala, and she had gotten a divorce from her husband, Asim ibn Uday. Once her waiting period of the divorce had finished, she wanted to actually remarry her ex-husband. No problem with that. However, her brother was opposed to this and prevented her from going back and remarrying remarrying her ex-husband. And it was at this time that this verse under review for today was revealed, telling her brother and all other men that, you know what, you have no right to interfere with your sister's wedding, or for that matter, any woman in your family. You just, as a man, don't have a right to, you know, put your nose into your sister's business, or anybody in your family, any woman. So it seems that in that era of pre-Islam, men had that right, or they felt they had that right over their female members of their family, that they could dictate who they could and could not marry. However, Islam made it clear in the Quran, in the Hadith, and this is even in the fiqh of the Shia Ithna Ashari, that a person's brother or other male member doesn't have the right to tell a woman who to marry. In this case, a divorcee. Now, yes, there are rules in fiqh that a guardian has to be giving his consent to his daughter if she's never entered into marriage and consummated a marriage. Those are separate rules. But coming back to the verse laid down the law clearly. It told men that when it comes to the women in their lives, as a few points that men and women, if a man and a woman divorce, that once the woman's waiting period is over, what they call the iddah, then no man in her life has the right to tell her who she can or cannot marry, even if her and her ex-husband want to get remarried again. Nobody can prevent that marriage. Nobody should prevent that marriage. It's also possible that this verse may refer to the ex-husband trying to impose his wishes on his ex-wife, telling her who she can and cannot marry. And this is also something that Islam put a hard stop to. It prevented it, it prohibited it. What right does the ex-husband have to impose any authority on his ex-wife, who she can marry after they've divorced and the waiting period is over? Now, it may seem strange, you know, but this was a custom then, and even today, we have seen cases where the ex-husband will use certain things against his wife in the divorce. He'll make her promise and write it in contract that she will not marry again for a certain number of years. Or he'll put other strict conditions on his wife during the divorce proceedings, and he'll tie maybe custody of the children or other things to it. It's not a theory. This has happened in reality. Obviously, these people have not read this verse of the Quran. As we conclude this review, you know, we see that this commandment is in the Quran. But Allah makes it clear that such admonition is only for those who believe in Allah and the last day. Now, this literally means that if you as a man are claiming to be a man, claiming to be a Muslim, claiming to be a Shia, let's say, you're not going to be so controlling and demanding of the women in your life. And a man that does so cannot claim to be a Muslim, because Islam does not allow that, to have that kind of domination over women, especially an ex-wife, let's say. Allah concludes this verse by reminding the Muslims that they need to break free from cultural boundaries, and that is cleaner and a purer way for them to move forward. You know, this is really the way, brothers and sisters, to ensure the betterment of our entire society, to break free from cultural baggage, as we all have, unfortunately. We have cultural baggage, but we haven't broken off of it. And when we find a man and a woman are compatible and they're not allowed to get married, as the Quran and Hadith show us, that sins can easily take over the society. So we need to allow and facilitate marriages where possible. We conclude and we remind ourselves that Islam came to free us from the shackles of cultural bondage and slavery and superstitions, and allow the man and woman to grow spiritually to make it to Allah. And one of the ways that Islam did this, brothers and sisters, is that it reminded us that men and women are also protectors of one another. They are both responsible for the spiritual nourishment of one another. And they're both accountable to remind one another to stay on the good path, the path of goodness, encouraging good, forbidding evil. This is an obligation, brothers and sisters, and it's a way for the community of believers to grow together. Therefore, join us tomorrow as we review the topic of women, the right to encourage good and forbid evil. We're going to focus tomorrow specifically on this verse of the Quran about women and their right to engage in encouragement of good and forbidding of evil. Until then, wassalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.